Over the last several days, we have been fortunate to celebrate the wonderful festivals of Janamashtami, Nandotsav, and the divine Vyas Puja of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Janamashtami is the holy occasion when Lord Sri Krishna descends to this world in order to reveal Himself and the path of devotion. But as Krishna Himself has declared that we cannot approach Him save and except through the mercy of those devotees who have surrendered their lives in His loving service. It was by Krishna's divine arrangement that Srila Prabhupada's appearance and His appearance coincided in such a wonderful way. It was at midnight that Lord Sri Krishna appeared. In one sense, midnight is the beginning of the next day, and therefore the next day is celebrated as Nandotsav. In Vrindavan, Gokul, it was on that day of Nandotsav that Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Rani, and all the Brijvasis celebrated the appearance of the child Gopal. It was a wonderful festival. When Nanda Maharaj saw the beautiful child born to Yashoda, who is the very embodiment of all beauty, all the beautiful things in this world, in the heavenly worlds, and in all of the varieties within the spiritual world, are all part and parcel, or expansions emanating from the original source of all beauty, who is appearing in fullness in the beautiful form of this little baby, infant child, Gopal. So when Nanda and Yashoda and the residents of Vrindavan saw the wonders of this child, they performed a wonderful, wonderful ceremony to welcome him into the world. They performed the Abhishek. Nanda Maharaj was giving in charity millions of cows, each cow beautifully decorated with gold and silver ornaments and wonderful silken cloths. He gave mountains and mountains of grains to the Brahmins. In fact, it was his aim to satisfy all the desires of everyone. This is the mood of having a celebration or a festival, to satisfy everyone, beginning with the great Brahmins, the very senior advanced devotees, and extending down even to the most apparently insignificant guests, and even the lower species of life. This is a Krishna conscious celebration. Not only was he giving pleasure to his son by bathing him in wonderful yogurt and ghee and milk and various types of scented water, offering beautiful flowers, fragrant flowers, but also to give complete satisfaction to each and every person that attended. And all of the Brijabasis, they came wearing their finest clothes, the men with silk turbans, the women with nice saris, and they were all singing the glories of Srinandanandana. And having wonderful, wonderful singing, instruments playing, Nanda Maharaj arranged for large supplies of ghee and butter and yogurt. And the Brijabasis were very lovingly offering their affection to one another by throwing these auspicious gifts of the cow upon one another. In this way, Krishna's appearance induced a festival of spiritual love and harmony amongst all of his devotees. And it is in this mood that we should aspire to celebrate the appearance of Krishna. Krishna came to bring unity and love in this world of great disharmony and envy. He came to bring light into the world of darkness. And it is on that same day of Nandotsav that Krishna sent his most beloved and intimate associate from the spiritual world to this world. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, descended by Krishna's own sweet and infinite mercy. And he appeared on Nandotsav, and this very wonderfully symbolizes that we cannot separate Krishna from his devotee. Acharyavan, Krishna says that you should know that the Acharya is my very self. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasadam, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If you get the mercy of my intimate devotee, you receive my mercy. Without his mercy, you cannot approach me. So Srila Prabhupada came to reveal Krishna to the world. So these 2 days are very, very important and worshipable by all of us. Srila Prabhupada's only desire is that we follow the instructions of Krishna and worship Krishna. And Krishna's only desire is that we follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and worship Srila Prabhupada. This is the divine reciprocation of love. Prabhupada wanted nothing for himself. He simply wanted us to chant Krishna's name, to hear Krishna's glories, and be Krishna conscious. He gave us Krishna's words in the form of Bhagavad Gita as it is. He gave us Krishna's pastimes in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very happy and content to remain in the background, always putting Krishna forward. But Krishna, he has ordered us, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika. You worship my devotee, and then I will be satisfied. So Krishna wanted Prabhupada to be glorified. He wanted Srila Prabhupada to be worshipped. And this is the process that we can make proper spiritual advancement. The great Vaishnavas never will ever claim to be God. They will always claim to be the most insignificant, humble servants of the Lord. But for one who adopts this consciousness, in Krishna's mind, that devotee is better than God. And therefore, Krishna himself becomes such a servant. The first Janamastami that I ever celebrated was not in any way intentional on my part. I never heard of Janamastami. In India, everyone knows Janamastami. I was traveling from the Himalayas in Nepal to Amarnath. This time of the year, there's a very big pilgrimage where people walk, sadhus assemble in Himalayas near Kashmir, and they walk for many days to have the darshan of a Shivalinga made out of pure ice. It is called Amarnath. So I was living with such sadhus, and I was taking a train, third class was the best class because it was free for anyone who could pay the price of tolerating the conditions. Officially it was not free, but practically any third class compartment was so crowded that it was impossible for a ticket collector to even go into the door. He would have to run full speed along the track and jump in the window long before the train stopped, even to get in. And ticket collectors were not so dedicated to their service. So it was free passage. And sadhus, they took advantage of this opportunity to go on various yatras anytime, anywhere. So somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, I was trained in this process. I was traveling and the train stopped many sadhus on the railway tracks. So I decided to go out and to see why all these sadhus are on the railway tracks. So somehow or other, I forced myself through the packed human conditions and got to a window and crawled out the window. And within moments, the train started moving. So I tried to get back in the window, but it was so crowded, everyone pushed me out. So I went to the next window and was pushed out. The next window, I was pushed out. Then I went to the door, and I was not only pushed, I was kicked and shoved and everything. And soon the train was going so fast, I didn't know where I was, but that is where I was. The train was gone. So I asked, someone translating in the back? Yes? So I asked one sadhu, where am I? And this person said, this is Mathura. Today is Janmashtami. I said, what is Janmashtami? He said, this is Krishna's appearance day, and this is the place where Krishna appeared. So I went to the Janmasthan. Beautiful, beautiful place where Lord Sri Krishna appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa. And there were so many thousands upon thousands of people having kirtans and dramas. And then we went to the Dwarkadish temple on the banks of the Jamuna near Vishwamgat for the midnight aarti. and there were so many crowds of people that the police were beating people with sticks, and people were still coming in, and everyone was getting beaten by sticks, and they were, that was easy, getting beaten by sticks, but getting trampled and crunched by everyone. And I was taking this as a culture shock. So I climbed on a pillar in the temple and was looking down at all of this, and there was the deity of Dwarkadish. And I was thinking, how these people are so anxious to see Krishna. They're willing to be crushed. Going to there, it was pouring torrents of monsoon rains, and there was floods. The streets were practically up to the waist in water, and yet tens and thousands of people were going through these floods and all this rain, and then going into this temple room, and a temple with a capacity of about 500 had about 10,000 in it, literally. But they were all going through all of these austerities just to offer their respects to Krishna on the night of his appearance in this world. Anyways, that is how I celebrated Janmashtami, first year. And I thought I was going to leave, but I got typhoid fever and couldn't leave. So I ended up living in Vrindavan. And by the time I recovered from typhoid, my conclusion was that I will stay in Vrindavan. There is no religion that is as complete and perfect as Krishna Bhakti. The next year, we celebrated Janmashtami in the presence of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada at New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada would say often that New Vrindavan is none different than Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada especially wanted to celebrate Janmashtami with the devotees in New Vrindavan. So he came. At that time, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, the deities of New Vrindavan, were living in an old house in the living room of that house, just a small room. And somehow or other they sectioned it off to make a little altar. And deities, physically they're about 6 inches larger than Radha Gopinath. And they were in a little tiny room, and that was the temple, in a house that was over 100 years old. So the devotees decided to make a new temple room connected to the house, and they wanted to offer it to Srila Prabhupada at midnight on Janmashtami. So the devotees were working for many months very hard. And at about 6 o'clock on the night of Janmashtami, there was about 4 months of work left to be done. And Srila Prabhupada was already invited to come to reinstall the deities on the altar. So the devotees were working very hard. And before my eyes, I saw miracles. The walls were not even painted. The floor was not properly complete. There were so many additions to be done on the altar. And yet there were minutes to go until Prabhupada was going to arrive. And all the devotees forgot their bodies. They forgot their minds. They only had one thought. Prabhupada will be pleased if we can make it look like a temple before he comes. Because it didn't look like a temple. By 10 o'clock, it looked like a construction site. And I had been there for some month and a half or 2 months before Srila, or about a month and a half before Prabhupada came. And I got to know most of the devotees, and I saw what type of conflicts were shared between them. Certain devotees got along very nicely, they had friendships. Certain groups of devotees were not at all friendly with others, because it's human nature. People make little camps, and people offend each other, either intentionally or unintentionally, and they start holding grudges in their hearts. Amongst neophyte devotees, even, sometimes this happens, unfortunately. And New Vrindavan is a farm where generally very kind of rough devotees would come. So whatever was in their hearts, they would very roughly express it. So I was witnessing this. But that night, when there was only a couple hours till Prabhupada came, everyone forgot their false egos. Everyone forgot whatever conflict there was between themselves. There was perfect harmony. There was perfect reciprocation. Everyone was willing to do anything to help each other to make this temple beautiful for Srila Prabhupada. And when devotees work together and they transcend all their own selfish barriers, I witnessed that night what devotees could do. They actually completed weeks of work in a matter of hours. And Srila Prabhupada came right on time, and as he was walking, you see, the way the temple was, the altar was on the wall, one wall, and on that same wall, there was the entrance to come in the temple, on one side of the altar of Krishna, and on the other side of the altar was the door to get in the altar into the pujari room. So as Srila Prabhupada was coming to this door, all the ladders and all the buckets and all the paints and all the tools, hammers and everything, was going out the other door. It was really a rush. And I'll tell you, I was just astounded. Just as Srila Prabhupada took his first step into the door in the temple, the last bit of paint on the walls was just complete, and the painters had just run out the other door. The temple room was perfectly complete. It looked brand new. There was nothing undone. But one devotee had to... We were praying that Srila Prabhupada wouldn't touch the walls. Because if he did, all the paint was completely wet. But somehow or other, as the swan of Srila Prabhupada's nature, he just came in and he offered his obeisances to the brand new marble altar, to Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, on the night they were first being installed in this beautiful little temple. And as he looked up at them with his hands folded, there were tears in his eyes as he was greeting Krishna on this holy night of Janamashtami. And there was a beautiful aarti. Devotees were singing and dancing. And Srila Prabhupada was so happy so proud of what the devotees had done in the service of Lord Krishna. And of course, we know everyone was fasting without food or water. And they were working so hard throughout the day. So, after the aarti, everyone was dancing, chanting for some time. So happy to be with Srila Prabhupada. It was actually the fulfillment of every desire. Radha Vrindavan Chandra on one side, Srila Prabhupada on the other, and we were all in between with devotees singing Krishna's holy names. But at the same time, hunger and thirst were remembered. So we all bow down, as Prabhupada said, Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajaka Charsha Astotarasata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then we chanted Narasingha prayers. And then we were very anxious to bring Srila Prabhupada his feast of Krishna's prasad. And we were also anxious to take his remnants. But Srila Prabhupada was so absorbed with his eyes fixed in the beautiful forms of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, he told the devotees, read from Krishna book. So the leading sannyasis of the movement from all around were all present. Devotees from all over the world came for this festival. Devotees from every corner of the United States, Canada, wanted to be with Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan on Janamastami, as well as the next day, his Vyas Puja. So the devotees began to read the birth of Krishna. I'm sorry, what is the first chapter of Krishna book? The appearance, advent of Krishna. Prabhupada was sitting with his back erect, in complete attention, with his eyes sometimes closed and sometimes looking at the deities, sometimes glancing upon all the Vaishnavas. And the devotees, the temple was very hot. It was a small temple. There were hundreds and hundreds. It was packed. Most people were standing because there was no room to sit. And after the first chapter was complete, all the devotees, thus ends the first chapter of Krishna book, the advent of Krishna. Everyone was very happy. They all started chanting, Jai Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada, in his spiritual trance of meditation in Krishna. Next chapter. The next chapter is prayers from the demigods to Krishna in the womb. It's a very long chapter. So, I just remember what a wonderful scene it was. Devotees were so tired that they were literally falling on each other. And the devotees that were sitting, they were leaning on each other. And between the deities and Prabhupada, there was an open aisle, so nobody was sitting in front between Prabhupada and the deities. So on both sides facing each other were all the sannyasis of ISKCON, who happened to be in the West. There was about 12 of them with their dandas. And they were all, I was standing very close to Srila Prabhupada and sometimes fanning Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees, the sannyasis, I was watching their dandas along with, because they were holding them on their shoulders, along with the rest of their bodies, they were falling to the floor and then getting up. They were all going like this. And Srila Prabhupada sat with his back erect. And after this long chapter, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, second chapter entitled The Demigods Pray to Krishna in the Womb. And everyone, with whatever strength they had, they said, Jai Prabhupada! And Prabhupada responded, next chapter. Meanwhile, the cooks, they were working all day. There were no gas or electric stoves. It was only fire. And they had to cook for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And there was no, you couldn't drink water. The cooks were just perspiring like anything in the heat, making these gigantic pots of blazing fires. And everything was ready for the midnight arti. And they all had their serving containers and everything lined up so everything would be ready to serve all the devotees right after arti. And they were outside with the containers and they were all laying asleep next to the containers, trying to stay awake somehow or other. I remember Sudanu Prabhu and Narottamananda, who lives in Juhu, they were the head cooks for that feast. So they began to read the next chapter. And we had one realization, all of us. What is the difference between an advanced devotee and devotees who are not so advanced? Srila Prabhupada had such a natural taste for hearing the glories of the Lord that he was completely indifferent to hunger, thirst, to sleep. On this night of Janmashtami, he was simply absorbed in glorifying Krishna by seeing his devotees chanting his glories. And then we read the birth of Krishna. And Krishna was actually born in that chapter. So we were all feeling, this is very wonderful. Krishna is born. That means this will be the end of the reading. Thus ends the third chapter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the birth of Krishna. And then there was a very loud, Jai Prabhupada! And Srila Prabhupada responded, next chapter. I think that's the atrocities of Kamsa. Huh? So this reading went on for several hours. And finally, I think it was about 2:30 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And Srila Prabhupada was still just completely awake, alive, with enthusiasm to go on hearing Krishna's pastimes. But he looked at us, and we were really trying to please him by looking alert. We were trying our best. The sannyasis were trying to keep each other awake, but they were actually falling on each other. And Srila Prabhupada looked at us, and he began to laugh. He said, so should we continue? And he said, would you like to continue? And we couldn't say no. But at the same time, we couldn't be dishonest to our guru. So he said, would you like to continue? And there was complete silence in the room. So Srila Prabhupada was smiling very nicely. And he said, "I think you are all very hungry and tired. I think you should all take prasad." And then, louder than I ever heard before, was a tumultuous roar of Jai Prabhupada. Arivo, Srila Prabhupada ki. And then we began a kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada walked out of the temple. He complimented how beautiful the temple was, how beautiful the deities were. And the devotees accompanied him to his car, his vehicle, where he drove to his house after taking prasad. And on the next day, his Vyas Puja. It was a wonderful event. Hundreds and hundreds of devotees, it was celebrated outside on top of a mountain. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. Beautiful, wonderful kirtan. All the devotees offering flowers to Srila Prabhupada. He gave a beautiful, very, very famous lecture on Vyas Puja. So many guests, it was advertised from all around. And Srila Prabhupada so personally and wonderfully reciprocated with practically every devotee in his own divine way of encouraging us to surrender to Krishna. And he explained how the spiritual master is not God, but how he is worshipped by the disciple as the representative of God. And how the spiritual master receives these offerings, not for himself, but only to give the disciples the opportunity to make spiritual progress. In this way, Srila Prabhupada taught us that in every stage of life, however advanced we become spiritually, we are always in the mood of a humble servant. So it was His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who very, very systematically, in a very simple and devotional process, taught us how to celebrate all of these festivals. He was giving us very specific instructions how to celebrate Krishna's Janmashtami, how to celebrate His own appearance there, how to celebrate Govardhan Puja. Throughout India, everyone knows about these festivals. Srila Prabhupada revealed not only to India but to the whole world the simple method in which we can celebrate these festivals with the proper consciousness of pleasing Krishna and purifying our hearts. There are so many Smartha Brahmins that perform so many yajnas, chant so many mantras, and people who come to these festivals with a very materialistic, fruitive heart, in the mood of the Karmakandis or the Jnanakandis, desiring liberation. But Srila Prabhupada taught us the simple method of pleasing Krishna. He was not so concerned with the elaborate rituals. He was not so concerned with the very, very intricate rules and regulations. Whether we followed them or not, he didn't mind either way. But the main principle of learning how to associate with devotees, learning how to chant the holy names attentively, sincerely, enthusiastically, learning how to hear the glories of the Lord submissively, learning how to pray to Krishna for the right thing, not for any material benedictions, but to pray to Krishna through all of these simple processes for the supreme benediction of devotional service. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada revealed the essence of religion. He cut through all the misconceptions, and in such a simple way that even a child could follow, he taught us how to celebrate these wonderful festivals and how to live our lives according to the pure, unadulterated principles of bhakti. Because Srila Prabhupada had complete faith that in this age of Kali Yuga, by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if simply we learn the proper method of chanting Krishna's names, we will fulfill all of the goals of life. It is said in the Shastra that even performing the process of Sankirtan sincerely for a second is equal to performing thousands and thousands of Ashwamedha Yajnas or Gomedha Yajnas. So although sometimes devotees following in various influences from other temples and other places, various intricate rules and regulations for puja, for yajna, Srila Prabhupada, yes, you can do in the installation of the deities in Vrindavan as well as Hyderabad. He said, in order for the people in general in these places, because they are very ritualistic by nature, in order for them to actually believe that the deity is properly installed, we have to have all these yajnas for so many days with so many brahmins. But he told us, and he even wrote it in his eternal books of knowledge, that while the Brahmins were chanting all of their intricate mantras and performing all of their yajnas and rituals, he said the devotees with simple devotion were simply playing mridangas, kartals, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Very simple. He said this was the real installation of the deities. The other was only for show. This was the real installation, the devotees performing Sankirtan. Because in the age of Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has invested within the simple process of Harinam Sankirtan the results of all of the various Vedic rules, regulations, injunctions, and sacrifices. In fact, it is said, what is attained by tens and thousands of years of intensive, strict meditation in Satya Yuga, perfect execution of the most elaborate yajnas in Treta Yuga, worshipping the Lord according to the Pancharatriki Vidhi, deity worship, intricately without error, in the Dwapara Yuga. It is all accomplished in the Kali Yuga by sincerely chanting Krishna's name in the accompaniment of devotees. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So in this way, Srila Prabhupada taught us that by proper Vaishnava behavior of being humble servants and chanting Hare Krishna mantra, all of our spiritual duties are fulfilled. And this was his great mercy. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own teachings. He was willing to give the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all mantras, to everyone and anyone without discrimination. And Srila Prabhupada was the embodiment of the fulfillment of this most merciful principle of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings. Krishna's Janmashtami and Srila Prabhupada's appearance in this world are so inseparable in our lives. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. So Krishna appeared first in regard to the time scale that we can see. Krishna appeared, and actually on the same day he sent Srila Prabhupada. By the mercy of Krishna, he has given us Srila Prabhupada. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he is giving us Krishna in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Our lives. When you are all old Vaishnavas meeting together, you will remember. Do you remember Janmashtami of 1995? You will remember throughout your lives. When I think back of the decades I've been a devotee, that is my reference of history. We remember what color the Didi's dresses were for Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Govardhan Puja of 1973. Oh, what nice jewelry, what beautiful dress they were given on that day. And the various exchanges and the various wonderful episodes of preaching. You will remember these incidents throughout your life. You will not remember your own birthday. You will not remember what happened on my birthday in 1995. But you will remember the wonderful exchanges that the Vaishnavas shared in preaching the glories of the Lord. And I think if you think back, you can remember every Janmashtami, special events that took place, and every Radhashtami, and every Gaur Purnima. So these sacred days will be etched within our hearts forever. And this is very nice. We will think back in our life and remember it in sequence to various ways of glorifying Krishna in the association of devotees. And in this way, we will forget everything except Krishna and devotion to Krishna. And then, as Krishna promises, when we come to that stage, antakale chamame vasmanan matma kalevaram, then you will go back to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Radha Gopinath ji ki, Hari Bol.